This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program, Robin Dreek.
Delphi, this case getting more and more interesting, of course, every day as we inch closer and closer to a potential trial. But it seems a lot of this is getting disrailed or derailed. I never said disrailed before. Derailed. I invented a new word for us.
Always good to invent new words.
Why not? But getting fairly derailed, it seems, with what is going on in the terms of law enforcement, in terms of investigation. There's been so many leaks. Just the day that we're recording this, and I've not seen these and I don't want to see them, but there's rumblings that there are crime scene photos, gruesome crime scene photos of these two girls that have come out. I don't know how that's going to help or hurt the case. There just seems to be a lot here that points a lot of reasonable doubt towards Richard Allen, while at the same point, even getting more detailed into what type of crime scene we had here, whether we're talking about the Odinist ruins, as they believe they are, or just sticks, or all the way down to these graphic photos of these kids. Why do you think we're seeing so much leakage in this case? There is no gag on it, but still, these things shouldn't be happening the way they are.
I think it's just because it's become such a fascinating case to people because of this claim of Odinism. And I'll tell you, we've really been witness in the last couple months to some phenomenal defense attorneys coming up with some amazing things. And I think the defense is doing a really good job in due diligence and flushing out every possible angle they could. Two guards wearing patches that are Odinist patches that they were allowed by the warden to put on their uniforms. That right there saying that, dummies, you know, whether it was part of that or not, what a dumb move, because it's going to sow a seed of doubt into a jury. It's going to be able to sway a jury one way or the other. The interesting thing, though, is, again, when you look at the arcs, then when you look at the behaviors of the guards that had it, they actually have phenomenal track records inside the prison. They haven't intimidated prisoners before. So if you're looking for arcs of behavior, all right, so they got a spike from wearing patches that was approved by higher, but their behavior inside the prison is following a pattern of appropriateness. So that kind of exonerates them-ish.
Yeah.
But why the patches? You know, so you got a lot of conspiracy theories coming together at the same time.
Yeah.
Then you have him confessing to his wife over the phone from the prison, which you could say that's solid until you bring up the Odinist side of things from people that actually have an arc that they don't do. So it's muddled right now. Yeah. I think you're getting leaks because it is interesting. It's fascinating. But I'll take that step back again, like we said in the last show.
Yeah.
If you look at an arc of behavior when it comes to Odinistic ritual killings, hard to imagine if it existed, this would be the first.
Yeah.
And if it is, then we're sure to find a lot more, because the standouts in society, they rarely happen. So we'll see.
And that's one of those things, as we were talking on the other case earlier about, we were talking about Karen Reed. Because something happened, it doesn't necessarily mean there is other intent there or there's other things that happened. The guards wearing the Odinistic patches doesn't mean that they're part of a cult that killed children. Does it mean, though, that there could have been intimidation from them that breaks the arc, without a doubt? But could it be being overzealous? I mean, I think sometimes all of us, when we see some sort of horrible crime committed and we have the suspected perpetrator in front of us, and if we believe wholeheartedly that is the person, you know, it's a very ill will feeling towards that person. And if someone's not really able to control that very well, I could see there being intimidation of you know, you scumbag, you this or that, whatever they may have said or done, or the possibility of intimidating him or making just bizarre threats at him of, well, kill your family, hurt your family, as the allegations are, unless you confess to this. Were they trying to basically get this ball in the hole without, you know, really knowing for sure if this is our person?
It's a guess.
It's a guess, yeah.
And here's why, too, because what you just said, possibly intimidation, because the defense even put in the footnote of it that this is conjecture, that they could have been influencing him. They could have been trying to force him or coerce him to confess because they're Odinists. there's no evidence or support that they actually did that. So again, it's kind of throwing out that bone mm-hmm. of doubt to a potential jury, to the public, to get the attention they want. Because again, that's what defense attorneys are paid to do. And they're clawing at everything they can on this one. But when you have all this weird coincidental circumstantial evidence that you can kind of draw in, it makes it look conspiratorial. Maybe it makes it look like other people, doing one of these things from Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz. But let's look at the possibility that this happened first. Mm-hmm. And then, again, we're just going to have to follow the evidence because every day you hear something new, it's like, but then it comes back and, it's just a footnote. It's just conjecture. So we'll see.
It very much, makes you wonder with all the conspiratorial ideas that are out there of, what truly did happen. My bigger question is if Richard Allen is innocent, and my opinion, I'm leaning more that way right now. If he is, why would the defense come out with this hugely fantastical story and expect it to be believed? I mean, I think that could totally backfire on that defense at the same time. I don't think it's a very solid direction to go. I mean, it's a bet. It's one hell of a bet that they're making that's going to have any sort of traction. The juries aren't just going to be like, whatever. Why go down that road? Why go down this Odinist road? Is it just because there was enough of these little pieces that we can sow the seeds of doubt and that will be enough to free him? Or is there really just like, dude, you have no defense. This looks really bad for you. We have to say something other than you weren't there, but you already said you were there. It's just like, this is the old, we got to say something because we don't have anything else to say.
I love keeping things as simple as humanly possible because when you overcomplicate it, it shows that you're really not good at what you're doing. And so I think in really simple terms like this, these lawyers are either really good and brilliant or they're really horrible. There's either something really to this, or more likely, there's really nothing that they have that they can defend here. And so they're reaching at straws. And so it's one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, it's going to be interesting to see how this eventually plays out. If it plays out, there's that hearing that is happening. The judge is going to take a look at the Odinist things. I'm going to be very curious as to see where this all goes as it continues to progress.
And most importantly on this, though, all the snarkiness on the Odinist aside, I really hope that they can get to some ground truth on what transpired for the families.
Yeah.
Because either way you look at it, two little girls are gone, and there's a huge amount of pain, trauma, and suffering every time you have something new hitting the news, in the murders in Idaho and everywhere, that especially if there's family members / children involved here, every time there's new hope, like the BTK killer, stuff coming up again with these families kind of having to relive, go through this again, because these murders took place a couple years ago. It's traumatic. And so I just hope they can get some ground truth to get some closure for the families.
It's already crazy enough. I can't imagine being those parents and then suddenly this gets thrown into the mix. And you're like, is this, where are you coming from on this? Because it just adds another layer of almost victimizing if these claims are really just, caught out of the air.
And fear. I mean, think about it. So if he's acquitted and found not guilty of the crime, well, who did? And is it an Odinism cult out there that, and all these families are still now, the whole community is like, oh my gosh. I mean, it's literally terrorism, because that's what terrorism does. It's the threat and fear of what could happen that keeps people psychologically imprisoned.
Well, and the thing is, we keep going back onto this Odinist thing and assuming it's a cult. It's a following, it's a group, I get that, but it doesn't necessarily mean there was a group of people that suddenly got the bat signal that there's two girls that we're going to sacrifice here in the woods. Bring your robes and a, pack of Keystone. I don't see that. That doesn't make a lot of sense, but I could see it. If it is one individual who did this, that maybe there is something being covered up. Maybe they have no idea who it even is. Maybe there is something to the Odinism, but not to the, I guess, movie-esque version that I think comes to a lot of our minds right away.
Right. I mean, when you look at, Church of Latter-day Saints and Mormonism, how you have the sects that break off and do the cult activities based off of that belief system. Same thing with Odinism. You can have a sect that breaks off and kind of takes that belief system and goes to the extreme with it, where it hits that cult area. Again, there's some criteria that reach cult, and the in this case, the criteria that would elevate it to a cult is to do harm to others, because that's really the big element of a cult. It actually is doing physical or emotional, psychological harm to others. And so it would have to elevate to that. When it comes to religion and belief systems, heck, ancient Egyptians, their religion existed for 4,500 years. And so the only older religion right now in the world is Hindu. Mm-hmm. So everything else is very young by comparison. Odinism has been around a lot longer than any other modern day religion, with the exception of that. Again, why do I know these strange facts? Because that's what comes up in all these cases.
It'd be interesting if there's any other cases, God forbid, in that area where Odinism also comes in as an argument.
Yeah.
Then maybe there's some legs to it, but.
Well, there's set a precedent, you know, but I think precedents have already been set when you try to bring in a cult as a reason for murder behind murder. We've seen a lot of them. Well, it seems like seeing a lot. We're paying attention to them a lot in the last couple of years, I think. But they've been around a long time.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.